You're listening to Season 6 of MGIF, a video game podcast where you listen to me walking around mostly London, having fun, silly chats with people who are involved with or have an interest in video games in one way or another. If, by chance, this gets you thinking about video game culture and its wider place in society, that is not my fault. This week, it's the incredible Frankie Ward. Now, Frankie is a presenter, she's a streamer, she's an Intel gaming ambassador. She's working on FC24, Valorant, Fortnite, and it was a pleasure to come and chat to her. I met up with Frankie at the train station, and we wandered around walking her gorgeous little dog, Dina, who I adore. More dogs, more podcast dogs. It really is a big theme now, isn't it? And we walked around, and then we had a little coffee, and then we went back to Frankie's place, where we talked about FGC, fighting game community, and the esports scene and where there's crossover and where there's differences there. We talked about being a mum and working as a freelancer. We talked about baking. We talked about getting on with your job as a presenter and putting on a professional, brave face front of camera when everything else is falling apart around you. We talk about women in esports scenes, both behind the desk and as competitors. What's good, what's bad, what needs to change. And there's a cute little interlude where the post lady comes to the door and Dina loses her shit and barks her head off protecting the house. Frankie is brilliant. She's so knowledgeable. She's so entertaining. Thanks again to Frankie for having me. And I will shut up now and you can listen to Season 6, Episode 10. It's Frankie Ward.
Anyway, see all this stuff here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
How are you doing?
How are you? Nice to meet you too. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Hello, and nice
Mrs.
to meet you.
Dina T. Dog.
What's your name? Sorry.
Dina or Dina.
Dina.
The dog. Or Dina T. Dog.
Dina T. Dog. Hello. Oh, yeah. I love you.
DTD. We are breathing our children. So E for the baby, ATB, and then DTD.
The vibrating.
Yeah, she gets excited slash a bit scared. She's getting
good,
better.
If it's a good or a bad sign, fear or excitement.
Yeah, she's more scared of like small people. Aww. Although she's got better with that. Like she's really good when she's daughter.
Right, you should be all right with me then.
Yeah, I noticed a change about a year ago. She started going up to young men in the park.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
That was a new thing for her.
You're like, I see.
So I was like, okay, she's acclimatised.
Confidence.
She comes from China, so.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, she was a lockdown dog we rescued from a charity called Slaughterhouse Survivors, which looks after dogs that I guess get given up.
We're from China?
Yeah. Actually, people think that, there's a meat trade in China, but most of it's illegal.
Right.
Because not every province actually allows it.
Yes, yeah.
Because the most famous one is the Harbin Dog Meat Festival, I think it is.
Right.
But sometimes what happens is working dogs, it's like the equivalent of a horse getting sent to the knacker's yard.
Right.
So sometimes when families or even, you know, people who work with working dogs don't want to keep them anymore or can't keep them anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
They can sometimes unfortunately get sold off. So
of course, yeah.
She was found emaciated on the back of a truck.
Oh no, bless.
Yeah.
She looks good now. Looks happy now.
Oh, she's living her best life, yeah. At least I hope she is.
No, quite a lot of people rescues, yeah. It seems like it's such a nice thing, right? And you just sort of get a sense of connection, and it's obviously it's just nice to have a pet, but also you've got that added bit of reason to do it, right? And a bit of story, and you, as you say, you've rescued her.
Yeah.
Which is really sweet.
My husband said it's the happiest day of my life. Yeah. When she arrived, she was just put into my arms.
Oh.
And then we just like curled up and watched some like cow strike in the evening together.
Yeah.
I was like, is she going to be okay with the noises? But she was fine. I was like watching her.
You're like, I hope you like Counter Strike because you're going to be watching it.
Exactly. 24 hours after you've just been on
like
the plane.
She's like,
China.
What the fuck's going on?
She's just sort of sat next to me, walked into the house and like immediately demanded a belly rub.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
She's...
My kids want a dog and it's just... And I do.
Yeah.
But just the very nature of having to look after...
Yeah.
One more thing.
Our neighbour David is like often looks after her. The furry dog father.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's very good. She hasn't been for a walk yet today, so I will be picking up poo in a moment.
Oh, yes. And there it is. Oh, it's just a wee. It's just a wee, everyone.
It's just a wee. I'm always, like, looking at, like, how many legs are up. She sort of makes herself into a little crescent when she's doing a poo. You know, there's the poo
don't,
dance.
Well, don't we all?
It's dogs just, do the poo dance.
It helps.
Yeah.
Let's get it out.
Dina! Come on.
I'm going to try that. I'll try that later, actually. Yeah. The old crescent.
The crescent tech, yeah. Obviously, ladies pee differently to,
that's
to boy
it.
Dogs as well. Although she does cock her leg a bit.
Does she?
Yeah.
Just to give it a go.
But not see as much as a boy dog does. Yeah, she wants to prove she can do it too.
How do you get on with, like, what does your partner do?
So, my husband has his dual, like, career. So, he's an actor. He used to be a stand-up.
Right.
I did not date him until after he was a stand-up because it's lunacy. And I used to work in comedy. But we met on Tinder. He had this valuable video back in, like, when was it? Like 2005.
Okay.
Called Gap Year.
Nice.
So, yeah, he was like, oh, she's doing a poo.
And
what was that thought about my lovely husband?
The poo is happening.
Right.
Poo count one. Well done. That's it. And dig it up. Bury it.
Yeah, she's very proud of herself. It's a good clean poo,
everyone. Don't worry. What a relief. She is looking extremely proud now, just standing watch over the park. As if to say, see that? She's like, that was me, actually. So,
right. There we go. Should be good with the hands. We've got to bring any hygiene stuff. There we go. She's feeling fresh now.
Nice work.
Yeah, my husband had this video called Gap Year, and he turned it into a book deal.
Okay.
Bought himself a flat in Kent with the money from HarperCollins or whoever published the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Got so many copies, I should have brought one for you.
Just like palming them off. Take it.
Yeah, exactly. Called the Gap Year Planner. Sorry, I'll just pop that in the bin.
So, oh, nice shot.
Nearly rim shot. Scuffed by the wind. and now he has a business that he set up with his dad, like where they hire out surveying lasers.
Of course.
He was in a sitcom on BBC Three called Cuckoo.
Right.
Sadly, not the first series, which was Andy Samberg, because Fox wouldn't let Andy Samberg do Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Cuckoo. But then they brought in my now husband. And the new Cuckoo, which is played by Taylor Lautner, who's known for Twilight.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So between you, just wondering, like, because that's the thing, that's a reason I've, well, one reason that I've held back on dog ownership, because I do love them.
Yeah.
But like just managing, getting work, getting gigs, yeah, as a freelance person who's not in one place at any one time, right?
Yeah.
And thinking, what do I do with the dog?
Yes.
on this particular occasion, like how do you manage that between you, like, so she, and obviously, yeah, the kids?
She goes to the office right, with my husband sometimes, but mostly like when I'm not on production, I'm working at home.
Right.
So if we know we're going to be out for a considerable period of time, yeah, she goes to my neighbours often. It was quite hard when Eve the baby was born because I couldn't go too far from the house.
Right, yeah.
So when next baby is born, that is going to be a case of like if my husband's going to the office, yes, he's taking the dog with him. So
yep,
I've just got a bit more freedom to,
yeah,
go out and about.
Yeah, absolutely. Balancing, yeah, everything and like it's madness.
Exactly. I was so like, right, nap times also, make sure dog's looked after. That I sort of didn't like roam enough, I think.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
When was little.
It's just such a thing, like it's still a thing, like especially with children and keeping working as well, especially for women, like,
oh god, yeah.
My friend Lauren, who is, she's got a Final Fantasy channel and she works with Limit Break, oh, and she's a presenter, and
yeah,
she put up a video of her
Lauren Kay,
yeah, that's, yeah, right, yeah. She put up a screenshot of her like doing something, I can't remember what it was a Final Fantasy event, and she was there, but she had her baby at the time just like, aww, strapped her and,
yes,
you know, one
I
of the wrap
this
things, and she was, yeah, like, right, I can't remember, I think it was like a 6-year anniversary since it happened or something like,
yeah,
that, and it was just like, yeah, and it's just having to do stuff like that.
Yeah, we took Eva the baby to Belgium for a Counter-Strike event which was about 4 months old.
Right, yeah.
I bought an Airbnb for my,
oh, did you?
My in-laws, my husband and Eva, and then so 1 week I had a room at the hotel, but I'd mostly like commute from this flat.
Yeah.
And then the following week when we moved from a group stage based in the hotel to the arena,
yeah,
they went home because those days are quite intense.
So, I'm going to say, yeah.
I was like, but I was still doing the 12,000 people, hello, you know, welcome to this team, they're quite good.
Yeah.
And then I go back and sort of take off my blazer and my shirt and I just put in a breast pump. It's very weird.
Oh, God, that is, yeah, weird, isn't it?
The end of pumping came about just after 6 months when I was doing a show at TwitchCon in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And I had the pump in because it was like a mobile one.
Right.
And I had to go through a metal detector and I just went into a bush, chucked out the remnants of milk and I just went, that's it now.
That's your lot.
That was the last time I pumped. I was like, see if I have a problem this evening, but I didn't. I was like,
oh,
okay,
good.
It's
good.
Done now. It's done.
That's your lot. You're like, yes,
yeah,
thank God. Yeah, it's quite,
you know,
a thing,
I managed
work
to do 6 months, so.
Yeah, well, it's just hard. Yeah. It's like draining in and of
yeah,
itself, though, right? It's crazy, apart from anything else you have to do, right?
Oh, good God, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
This time, we always did combination feeding because she was born with jaundice, so we needed to,
yeah,
do top-up foods.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So we're lucky. She always was able to do both, bottle and me, but I, yeah, kind of want to make sure we can do that this time around because it's just more healthy for me and,
yeah,
for my husband to be more involved. And well, so basically just healthy for me.
Yes, for sure. That is the first thing to consider, right?
Yeah, because, yeah, I'll give myself a bit more of a break than I did last time around, but I still won't have like a formal maternity leave, obviously. So stop hosting for a few months.
Yeah.
But like if things come up and I want to try and stream once a week and stuff, so.
Yeah, doing more stuff from home and like, yeah.
Yeah.
How's the streaming going?
Are
you back into it?
I'm still not very regular because I lost my voice at the start of the year and it's still not fully.
Oh man,
back.
Really?
Yeah, so I had to cancel some shows.
Was it like a cold illness thing or was it like a damaged vocal cord?
I had like
cord,
bronchitis
or?
That led to acute laryngitis.
Oh, shit.
So I had bronchitis for about a couple of months.
Oh man.
Yeah, so my voice
has 2 months.
Fully recovered, and this morning I was coughing a bit and I was like, shoot, no, okay, we've got to be careful.
Yeah, be careful.
Because I'm working this weekend.
We'll keep it low key.
Show. Yeah.
Just get it closer. Oh,
yeah. so, yeah, so it's,
gosh,
yeah, it's been quite a roller coaster already this year.
Yeah, sounds like it, man.
But, and also because I'm not doing Counter-Strike as my main game currently, like, I had a lot of viewers from that who wanted to see me playing,
yeah,
Counter-Strike. So, Dina!
Sorry, I just did a little quick head whip round, like, is the dog still here?
Around. She will come after. Come on.
That's just
a little run if I squat.
Oh, like the toddle.
She's not into
let's
other
get,
dogs.
Let's get
like
this toddle on camera, on camera, on audio.
Dina, come here. Okay. That's it, sit.
Chink, chink.
Go on.
Hi, Dina.
Are you going to do the trick? Come on, sit. No.
No.
She didn't
I love
squat.
That.
She's
it's like a little
toddler
squat, and it's like, nope.
You don't want to do it for other
You know what?
People,
I ain't going to do
you
it.
You will sit for me normally. My husband doesn't sit with her, but I do. She's I like, can't do... Right. Her legs are too stubby to do lie down. Because you're meant to take the treat from the nose to the ground.
Right, okay.
And, like, you know, the, when her chin's practically already on the ground, it just doesn't work. So we gave up on that.
It was like,
she doesn't do balls. She doesn't do other dogs. She
I respect all of this, by the way.
And a toddle, yeah.
Like, I will do a belly rub and a toddle, and that's all you're getting, mate.
They really matched us incredibly well. So, yeah, she's actually very...
She's great, man.
Low maintenance, really, like, being a few dogs. She just wants love.
Yes, don't we all?
Love and to hang out, basically.
I love a dog's, like, squinty eye walk in the wind when it's, like, going...
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, come on.
She's like a little court martial. Her favourite thing is when we're, like, together with my husband, baby, and then my in-laws, because she loves them so much. So she, like, just absolutely adores a group walk.
Oh, that's lovely.
She did 2 weeks with the in-laws when Eva the baby was born. And she came back and she sort of waddled in and we were like, that is a differently shaped dog. Because she'd been fed... so much.
Oh my gosh.
And like my in-laws, Geraldine and Tom, were just like, what do you mean she's put weight on? She's had to go on a diet recently.
Oh, bless.
And yeah, it was so funny. Like,
it's when you stay with the grandparents, isn't it? They just ply you with biscuits. And...
Exactly. Literally, Geraldine was just like, sweeties, do you want some sweeties to Dina? Yeah, I was like, yeah. Geraldine.
Constant.
Yeah. So she's had to have her food reduced recently because the vet was like, I want to be able to see her ribs. So okay.
Yeah, okay,
I
mate.
I like my little...
Yeah.
I call her the snuffle pig, so... She's got a barrel body like a pig, and you know, she snuffles.
She's absolutely adorable.
Sorry, I basically just spoke about my dog most of this whole
podcast. That's fine. I love her. Oh, she is great. I'm just watching her walk about now. I love her tail. It's really like... It's quite big and like a strong tail for a little dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite...
We DNA tested. She's 12% Shih Tzu. She's 16% Chihuahua and she's 40-something% Pekingese.
Bloody hell.
She's Chinese court royalty. Now, we can go across the field, by the way. Across the field.
Cut across the field.
Grows up in the summer. It's very... It's like Michael Rosen, like we're going on a bear hunt.
Nice.
Grasso swish.
Nice.
Let's go through it.
I can tell someone's been reading toddler books recently.
You know what? My daughter's not into that one yet, but I saw it at my dad's house the other day and I was trying to read it to her. I mean, I say the other day, it was like a year ago.
Right.
But yeah, when she's ready, she's probably ready now, actually. She loves a book, does Aoife. Dina just sits there and watches us like, hang on, where's my turn?
Put Counter-Strike on.
My attention. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when are we going to watch on eSports?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the good old days before when you were still pregnant.
It's like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
It's okay, Dina.
But yeah, so she's such a mix that you don't see any dogs that look like her, really.
No.
Here. And yet, it turns out, if you look up... some of the dogs at the place where she was rescued from, the shelter where she was kept.
Yeah.
There's loads of dogs that look like her.
Oh, really?
But they're not as pretty. I call them Shelbyville Dinas.
Shelbyville Dinas. Nice.
Yeah, they just don't have quite the same allure to them as
like,
Dinas.
Like, you're not
dogs.
The same.
No. She's got the perfect Chihuahua head, but it's not, like, ratty. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like 70% bigger.
The structure there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice work, Dina.
Yeah, oh my God, sorry, it's very muddy.
That's all right, I've got my boots, so we're fine.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, it's nice to get a walk in as well.
Yes, bit of air. Sorry, I'm heavy breathing.
Just possible, no, it's all right. I always listen back on the recording and be like, oh, could just bring that bit down where I'm going, like a middle-aged breathing. It's like, you're just walking, man, what's wrong with you?
I'm slowing, it's April and I still have a cold, like.
Yeah, it's madness.
It's ridiculous, I'm wearing a hat and a scarf.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on half term at the moment.
Yeah, I realised I was getting the train, the overground at like 5:30 this week, and I was like, hang on.
Wait.
I have a seat. I don't have to like look at people and wonder if they see my pregnancy badge.
What is
or,
this?
Or, you know, my stomach.
Yes.
So it was quite pleasant, and then I realised, oh, it's half term.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's not that things are easier.
Yeah, I went up to two parents in Manchester for a bit, for about a week.
Yeah.
Go and see them, bring the girls and just do a little... Aww. It's a nice long visit, you know?
Yeah.
Nice to see them.
Do you miss Manchester?
I do. But the thing is, if you want to do what we do in various capacities, it's all down here, right?
Yeah.
But no, it is great there, man. I just went to Arcade Club in Bury.
Oh, really?
With Arcade my friend, Club. Sean Bell. It's just... basically, it's just like four floors of arcade machines.
Yeah.
From like...
Oh, that's amazing.
But it's cool because like the older stuff is right at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like stuff from... That's the stuff I was quite interested in. Like stuff from like, I don't know, late 70s. You know, the laser display bits. And I'm like, ooh. And they're all called like Asteroid War and
yeah.
Man Jumping. Because it's like, no the game. So you just...
Yeah,
you can play it what the hell you want.
All men in it.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. The most basic description because no titles of games are taken yet. It's like jump fight, you know. And those are pretty cool. And then we went all the way down, and they get listen to me. I'm heavy breathing now. Get all the way down.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
No more hills. Don't worry.
And like on the third floor, there's like Japanese arcade machines, and there's like you know, Bishi Bashi Special from the PlayStation 1. It's this mad, like, it's like WarioWare style, right? It's just very mad and silly.
Yeah.
There was like a new version of that where you're trying to be like a social media influencer.
So oh, really? To, yeah. Oh, my God.
And the better you do at the mini games, the higher up the, you know, the follower count you get and stuff. It's just like a silly framework for it.
Yeah.
And a table flipping simulator.
What?
Which was amazing. So it's an arcade machine, right? And it's got a table, like half a table in it is the peripheral.
It's a physically built table.
It's a physically built table into it, on a hinge, right?
Okay. A bit like a bike racing game in an arcade.
Yeah. And then there's different scenarios. So there's like a guy at work and everyone's like pissing him off. He's in the office and they're trying to like... And they're just all like annoying him and poking him.
So
and
you have to be that guy.
And you're the guy being poked and annoyed.
Okay.
And then you pick the best moment and you flip the fucking table because you're so upset and it just goes flying and it's really like comical. It's like almost like PS1 era 3D stuff and then everyone just goes flying, things explode, people go out the window and
oh my God, that's amazing.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
My favourite one, there's a funeral
where oh my God.
You are the ghost of the man inside the coffin and this is like a full congregation. And you have to choose the right moment.
The
and
coffin.
This ghost flips his body out of the coffin.
So have you seen I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson?
Yeah.
I don't think I've laughed so much at a sketch years until I saw the coffin flop sketch.
It's so
just,
funny.
Oh, my God. It's one of the most brilliant things. Like, it takes some adjusting to that show.
You're
fully committed to that show.
I want to watch more. My wife didn't really get into it. She was just like, it's okay. And so now I need to, like, find moments on my own to watch. I think it should.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my friend who I was with at the arcade club, he's obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And he said, like... Because obviously that made him think of Coffin Drop.
I think we all know who did this.
He said it was like... Yeah.
Yeah.
He said they had like a full day doing that with different stuntmen.
Oh, really?
Just falling out of the bottom of coffins and trying to get the best shots and stuff.
Well, yeah, because I've got the naked one. There's the one where they fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
It's like, it's actually incredible. Like, I did read about how they made that sketch. It's just... It's just something else, isn't it?
It's a hell of a day at work, right?
Yeah, very much so.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, so your streaming's going okay.
It's going okay. I need to be more regular. But the viewers that I have, the like regular viewers, they're so amazing. I have the best mod on Twitch, Isabel77, who mods for loads of people. And she's
cool.
She's amazing. She always like organises me as well. She doesn't have to do any of this.
Oh, right, just keeping it almost like a managerial.
Yeah, I need to send her more things. Because I need to find out what she wants. I sent her Diablo because... when that came out, because she can't like watch or play all games, but
so
when I know that there's a game she's okay with,
yeah,
then it's like, right, okay, I need to put that on the list.
That's
but,
cool.
She sent me a box of Vocal Zone the other day because of my voice, bless her. It was so kind
that's
of
cute.
Her.
That's nice.
Like, there's so much kindness. Like, when I was about to have ATV, like, they sort of organized a whip round. With this time around, when my first stream after the pregnancy announcement, there was like quite a lot of gift subs.
Yeah.
And it's funny because with streaming, I never ask people to sub because I make my money from hosting.
Yeah, sure.
And also like sponsorship. So I'm sponsored by Intel, so that's another reason to stream, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so any subs are obviously lovely. It's not that I don't want people to sub. It's that like I don't mind if they don't.
Yeah, of course. So
it's definitely useful when I'm like, probably when I'm, you know, not able to.
Yeah.
But I couldn't be a full-time streamer. I'm like two hours. My longest stream is probably like 4 to 5 hours, and they're rare. You know.
Do you get into all the gimmicks, or have you just got your overlay and then off you go?
Yeah, just a camera, an alerts thing, which actually I need to reinstall. I had to turn it off the other day, but I couldn't work out how to turn it off.
Yeah.
But I still probably haven't.
Right.
But because my sub alert, I've got two sub alerts, and they're from the same game of Counter-Strike where these kids were like, trying to troll me,
right?
And go, and so one of them goes, "Woman, ha 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 ha." And the other goes, "Kitchen, ha 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 ha."
Right, okay. And those are your sub alerts.
Yeah, and so if someone gift subs you 50 or 100 subs like they did the other day, like it happened, and I nearly cried laughing. I was just like, "What have you done? Thank you so much, but what have you done?" And so I'm playing Curse of Obra Dinn because I hadn't got into playing it. And I'm just like observing like these dead bodies and spiders, and all you can just hear is like, "Woman, ha 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 ha." And I'm just like, and this person was brutally, you know, staved in by a spider.
Oh my god, that's funny.
So yeah, at least it wasn't What Remains of Edith Finch, huh?
Yeah.
Like, imagine
exactly.
The canning sequence with "Woman, ha 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 ha," like, or the end of Final Fantasy X, like spiders is fading away, and all you hear is. Kitchen. Like all the emotional scenes, you know.
You can't. I don't think it's possible to stream that stuff on Twitch. I swear, if there's any sort of interruption, gosh. You've got to turn everything off, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how you turn it off.
I think it's just OBS was busted because I like muted the alert, but obviously it didn't work. I probably just had to completely remove it from OBS.
Yeah.
But then I'd have to find the source code somewhere. I've definitely put it in a text file. I'm organized enough to like at least know where it is. But it's also like set to a GIF of me dancing to Gangnam Style when I used to do Just Dance.
So it's all there.
Yeah, I used to have no shame in 2018.
It's the madness of Twitch, man. Just the things, and then they become normal, and you're like, "Oh yeah, thanks for the follow, thanks for sub," and it's all this mad shit going on your screen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I always have technical issues, normally of my own making, I should say, like because I don't want anyone to think it's the kit that I have. Because
yes, of course.
Yeah, although I had a dodgy Go XLR.
I struggle with slobs in that things all like, things will be working absolutely fine, then I'll turn it on again and it'll just be, no, it doesn't work now. And I'll go, why?
Yeah.
And then it is a case of just re-adding it or something. But I'm like, but it was fine. And then now you don't want to work and I have literally done nothing. It's closed and open. What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Like, live in 30 seconds, guys. And you're like, oh, no, I'm not, because nothing's working.
I couldn't get Fortnite to work properly yesterday because like I reset my PC. It turned out what I needed to do was install 50 updates to the motherboard.
of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
So nothing had been working. Jeez. And now I can't remember the settings I had Fortnite working on before. So to be fair, I can play it without streaming it. It's just doing both at the same time. It just doesn't want to play ball, so...
Yeah, it's helping me be a bit more organised because I can be quite cloudy-headed and do things like... All right, we're playing this the first time later, and then one of my friends will like tweet me, "Gary, for God's sake, please check it's working before you go live." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I probably should. Yeah, okay, yeah."
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. Look, he says, "Yeah, but it might not have been." It's like, yeah, I guess.
How often are you streaming?
I'm trying to turn it up a little bit, three times a week, hopefully at least twice. But as I say, we went away for a week, so I kind of scuppered that, and I had stuff to do. Before that, which is like scheduling a couple of these podcasts to make sure they were ready while I wasn't there, so that so it's been more than a week really, but that's all right. I'm gonna fit it in somewhere this week.
Yeah.
Although I'm recording tomorrow as well, so you know.
Cool. Who are you seeing tomorrow?
It's a guy called Paul Kilduff Taylor from Mode 7 Games. He did like Frozen Synapse, and he's done the music on Fights in Tight Spaces.
Oh, really?
And Knights in Tight Spaces.
Knights in Tight Spaces are coming out soon, isn't it?
Yeah, which looks really cool.
Yeah, I haven't played Fights, but after seeing the Knights trailer, I'm like, I need to play.
It's really good.
Fights. Yeah.
If you like that sort of thing, it's great.
Yeah.
I suppose we better get off the path. There's a big... Well, it's not that big. There's
I used
a
to really
small
like,
lorry in that way.
When BAFTA came around and you see the nominations, I'd be like, I need to play this game and this game. So I used to kind of,
yeah,
yeah, just get really stuck in.
Yeah, yeah.
The nominees and stuff.
Of course, yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, what's it like just trying to get all that played, like, in terms of getting a sense of it in time? And you get a couple of weeks or something, is it?
Last year, so in terms of as a jury member, because I've juried in the past, it used to be a month. This year, they have allowed people to start submitting earlier, so you can just start playing the games if you're a BAFTA member.
Oh, that's cool.
And then if you're asked to judge, then hopefully you've already played some of the games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it used to be, like, a month or so.
Okay.
I remember, like, 2019 just being, like, I think that was the second year I judged, maybe.
Yeah.
Just being terrified because I had to go to... I had a mobile event in Dortmund, Germany, followed by 2 weeks in Poland.
Oof.
For a big... My first Counter-Strike major, so Katowice. So it's a big...
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And was just going, how am I going to fit everything in? So... Yeah,
madness.
So, yeah, it was mad. But I just liked when the nominees were announced, just, like, playing some of the games, especially the indie ones.
Yeah.
Spend an afternoon playing, like, Firewatch or something.
Yeah.
Or...
those smaller experiences where you can be like, right, I've had a good sense of that, and I don't feel like I've... like crammed it in. That's the other problem with a game that's not meant to be experienced like that. If it's really a really long thing that's meant to last you a couple of weeks at the very least, you know.
Yes, I mean, I really like I haven't actually finished Save the Diver yet. I need to
I haven't touched it.
Do more of the sushi. I really love the restaurant management.
Yeah.
But, and I mean I like the sort of exploring and stuff, but actually I'm like less about the storyline and more about
sushi.
Just really like kitchen management, clearly. And then when it came, I played Dredge as well, which I really loved.
Oh, right. Yeah. Are you doing a wee?
I think she did a wee. I'm sorry, sometimes I'm just like, hang on, I'm just...
Poo check. That's all right, we're doing a... I know, we're doing a poo check. We don't want to leave our mess behind. The verdict's coming up.
All right, we've got a wee.
Okay, we've got a wee. I feel like he's doing VAR.
Yeah.
It comes up just a wee.
Yeah, exactly. She was actually between the lines.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dina. Yeah.
Nice one, Dina.
It's just that sometimes she doesn't cock a leg.
Yeah.
But again, it's all about the crescent.
It's all about the crescent. That's right.
She assumes the positions of the water boys. Like, but, that whole song is a check for her different poo positions. The rainbow, the crescent, you don't hold it in your hand. Yes, exactly.
But yeah, like
yeah.
Playing lots of Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh yeah, I haven't started that yet.
Obsessed.
Do you have good pawns? Are they giving people the clap yet?
No, not yet. Reliable Babs.
Okay.
She's called. She's a little Beastron woman, and she's the smallest you can make people.
Aww.
And she's got a really kind voice, and she's loyal, and she's like, stay by your side, and she's a warrior, so she's like fully kitted out.
Oh my gosh.
Like this big and kitted out and full, and she's got just given her a new like dragon killing hammer, and she's just like cutting about. I will say, if you're risen, she just like runs forwards, going bang, just smashing things.
Oh my gosh, I wish I
love
had
her.
Someone like that for Elden Ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, to be fair, I did end up playing, like, doing most of the battles. I did actually complete with friends who were really much
higher
ranked than me. Yeah.
I remember beating. I remember really struggling against. What's the guy in Soul Castle called? The Stormlord. What's it? And he's got two lads with him.
I can't
remember his bloody name.
I didn't finish.
Keith. Commander something. It's Commander something. Yeah. Might be Keith. It's not Keith.
I don't think I got as far as
Oh, did you? I love it. No. Oh god, I love it. I'm obsessed with Souls games, so I can't not. But
what did you think of Lies of P?
I've not played it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I didn't like it that much. But then I'm not great at Souls games, but I just thought the thing is, it's like the saving mechanism and the spending of points, whatever it's called in Lives of P.
Yeah.
They don't ever really explain stuff to you, so I totally like...
Right.
Yeah, because I played Elden Ring really, but I haven't really done too much in like Souls-like or Souls-like.
Oh, okay.
Games.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get that the language is all there.
Yes.
For achieved players all
yeah,
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for me, I didn't, so I just like...
And to be fair, that's the criticism you can levy against all the Souls games, is that they just go, this is the stuff. Mind you, like back with Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, they had you had a manual to look at.
Yeah.
I found it, the old PS3 Demon's Souls, and it's got this in my house somewhere, and it's got this lovely manual. And I'm like, oh my god, this is nice manuals. Remember that? Yeah. And it just has 10, like 20 pages of this is what everything is. Wow. This is what it does. This is what it means.
Yeah, so good.
But like when people come back to, not revisit it, but see it for the first time, right?
Yeah.
You're used to not having a manual. So they'll just grab it and start playing it and go, this is so opaque. What the hell am I meant to do? What is this and what is that? But it's because initially you had your manual to consult and go, oh, right, that's what that mad symbol is and that's what that means. Like, literally, instead of having, like, I don't know, strength, dexterity, this and that, they just have symbols for each one with no description of it. And it's just like, it just seems really like they're being awkward on purpose, right?
Yeah, I don't like that happens with a few games. Sometimes I have to write instructions to myself in like a post-it note.
Yeah.
Or, just the button mapping for a game or something.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've seen, as part of the second attempt at a game again, you know, save our video game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's like a...
like a sort of shitty revival.
People, you know, having in-game language like, you know, like the white paint in Tomb Raider that lets you know a wall is climbable. Which is like... it doesn't do any harm to anyone. But also, like, when you're doing, like, a quick time event where you're having to, like, dash through something, you actually, it's quite useful to have that.
Yeah, it becomes tedious. Like,
without it, exactly.
Well, I remember, like, playing Uncharted 3, I think it was.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where you're a kid, you're young Drake, kid Drake or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's having to run across, he's in some sort of, what are they called? Oh, my brain's gone. School, but school
4,
away.
That's Uncharted 4.
Is it 4?
Yeah, there's the flashback in Uncharted 4 where
is
you
it
go
4?
To the school office.
Yeah.
And you go across the rooftops.
Rooftops, right?
Yeah, it's great.
And there's loads...
it's really early sequence in the game.
I found it quite a bit frustrating because there were places where you looked like you could jump across, but it was one of those instant deaths where you just, you know, you suddenly ragdoll.
Yes,
so it's like, go this way, and it just goes, and dies. And you're like, what? That doesn't look like... And that doesn't have... the yellow paint that's so maligned.
Yeah.
But actually, it could have done with a bit of it.
Yeah, yellow or white paint, like, just, like, little basic things. They still feel like they're part of the environment. It's just an in-game language, isn't it? A design language.
I don't think
anything's wrong with that. Like,
no.
make the gun difficulty higher if you need.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really think there should be any skilling knowing that you can go in a certain direction.
Ideally, those things should always be done first time, and you should feel like you only just made it.
Yeah.
If you have to redo it like 5 times, it's not
the
drama's lost, right? The excitement's gone.
Yeah, that's why I gave up on Assassin's Creed 2 in the in the tutorial level.
I gave up on it when the first one came out.
Oh mate, I played Assassin's Creed Valhalla like just during my like last month of pregnancy first time around, and I felt so much resentment towards that game that has 3 endings.
Oh, does it
three
really?
3 endings.
3 endings. Yeah, I always they're so good at recreating worlds and the attention to detail of the historical setting, and that stuff's really nice to be in.
Yeah.
But then I'm always like, yeah, but the stuff I'm doing hasn't changed since the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just gets me a bit like, it's all right as a like a popcorn sit around and do the things, right? But
yeah.
I always wanted it to be Crusades era Hitman because I really like Crusades era as an aesthetic, and I love Hitman. And neither of those things quite came to pass.
I love the new, like the Hitman 3 game. I went back and started trying to play all the reboots, but I actually have to do like a fair bit more. Which I should just dive into when I have time because it's so much fun.
Oh, mate.
Hitman
obsessed.
3 was delightful.
Yeah.
Absolutely delightful.
Yeah.
Which, and you know what? The only James Bond game I have played is Tomorrow Never Dies on PlayStation 1. Square Piers Brosnan.
Oh,
an ambulance.
Get those ambience levels on. Thank you so much. Yeah, go
ahead. Is IO Interactive doing the new James Bond?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to really like that game.
Yeah.
Now we've got all the cafes. We're not allowed to go to Gales.
Yeah,
we
okay.
We can't go to Gales.
Oh, no.
In
no
this
trains.
Part of South London because my neighbours saw me. They would be fine. They would, but they might internally judge me. I had the nicest neighbours.
Must not be judged. No chains.
But like when Gales came to town, it was very controversial.
I can imagine.
What would you like?
Oh, thank you. Just a black. This is Americano.
Yeah. Okay.
Dina.
Let's wrap Dina around. She might be okay with a table leg. She might drag the table leg. Pekingese are very muscly.
Will she chill with me? Do you think?
Oh yeah, she is.
Thank you. Anyway.
There you go,
good
see?
Girl. You're a good girl.
Very good.
Yeah.
No panic, just so I can see her.
Yeah, well done. Thank you for looking after
me. That's all right. Oh, there you go, you're beeping.
There we go, so I'm going to basically just turn
that. That's all right. Off. Frankie's bed is ready. Yeah. You may. That's not a problem.
And then when I come out the bathroom,
it will allow this.
Take the bread out of the oven. Hopefully it hasn't overproofed. Rise on that, isn't it?
Good rise or bad rise?
I'm not sure. I think bad rise.
Oh no, not a bad rise.
I needed to put some more flour on it to coat it because it gone so wide.
Yeah.
During the proof, that the flour I put on it before the second proof was a bit unspread.
Oh no.
I've learned a lot more about needing to coat bread.
I read
a book.
Oh, did you?
Called River Cottage Bread that I'd owned for several years and never used. And then
cottage bread.
Yeah, and then not written by Hugh, written by I guess his baker. I learned a lot actually. Turns out it's actually quite useful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ghost written. Well, ghost baker. Ghost writer.
Baker. Well, he gets credited. To be fair to him. Hugh Fernie Whistonstall just writes a foreword.
Oh, that's all right then, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not just like claiming credit. Good
yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you mainly like a bacon human, or are you like, you into your cooking in general though?
I am now. I definitely, once I discovered like the roasting tin books that I used by Rukimi Minor. I'm really bad at saying her name. She goes by Miss Minifer on social media.
Yeah.
But when I when I started looking at her books and stuff, I was like, this is amazing. This is so easy. Mm. And so delicious, to be fair. And then I adapt things. But the baking, the bread I wanted to do because like I don't believe in the phrases clean eating, clean beauty, all that BS. But the idea of making bread from scratch, meaning you're skipping a load of stabilizers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I thought and would be quite nice to do. And like we're spending loads of money on bread at the farmer's market every weekend. So we save loads of money by me making it.
Yeah.
And I make it a few times a week. So yeah.
And like we're saying, it's got that lovely sort of meditative, creative quality. It's good. It just feel good for your brain, just making something from scratch.
And I've got better at it as well. I love that I've got better at it.
Yeah.
Because I started with sourdough. So basically my mother-in-law, Aoife's grandmother, Geraldine, she collapsed last year. She had something called Guillain-Barre syndrome.
Okay.
Stephen Stevens, the folk musician, he was recently diagnosed with it. And my father-in-law, Tom, had been a big soda bread baker for years. So it was always lovely when he bring bread round. He still does, it's great. and so I wanted to learn how to make that, but I also wanted a distraction for him because he kind of basically became roommates with my daughter.
Right.
She loved it. There's a sofa bed in her bedroom, so she'd wake up and bam, for an hour, would be there in the morning. Because we called him the owl, because the Irish, the old fella. so he's called the owl. And as a kind of distraction in a way, I was like, right, I'll buy you some flour and things. Like, teach me how to make the soda bread.
Hmm.
So it's buttermilk, and then we can toss in some raisins and spices if you want. But one of the tricks that he used was to use 2 to 3 types of flour. So we might use self-raising flour, plain flour, like bread flour.
Hmm.
And so I still do that with my yeast-based, my typical like standard loaves, as well as the sourdough. And not sourdough, sorry. I always say sourdough. I do not make sourdough. I don't have time for that. Soda bread, because you can make it in like, you whack all the ingredients together, no proving time, in the oven, 40 minutes, done.
Nice.
So after, you know, he was staying with us and things, I learned to make soda bread.
Hmm.
And we bought him a KitchenAid as a extra big birthday present.
Right.
So now he churns out like 12 loaves of soda bread at a time.
Oh,
and brings it over, and it's still way better than mine. But that was what got me into making bread, really, was just discovering during this, like, it was quite a traumatic period, of course, in our lives, my mother-in-law being in hospital for three months, learning to walk and literally use her hands and everything.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so during that period, there was a lot of trying to make good food and, like, you know, have a bit of control over how we could take care of ourselves, or at least how I could take care of my husband and his dad, you know. Also, selfishly, getting him to make our bread. But, you know, I think that was quite helpful for him, being around with the dog and being around with Aoife as well.
Yes, there's something about if you sort of increase that activity of things that feel like homely and domestic and familial, when something like that happens, it really helps. It can be like a tincture for the wound, you know, because you're doing things that feel safe and normal and sort of together and cozy, you know what I mean?
It enhances
that feeling when you need it most, especially if someone's like in and out of hospital or that kind of environment. It just brings a homeliness and normality, right?
Yeah, and I don't have like a normal routine, so like even with the house that we're in right now, I remember I was in Berlin when we I think exchanged on the house,
right?
And I was in Moscow when we completed. So, you know, so it's almost like I associate countries with what was going on at the time. Like, I was in Copenhagen on rehearsal day for Fortnite's championship series, so FNCS, when my mother-in-law collapsed. And then I was about to go live the next day with the show when we got the diagnosis. So you're like Googling what's Guillain-Barré syndrome. And you're just like, okay, prognosis is full recovery eventually, but it gets worse before it gets better. But you're just going, okay, right, she's going to live. Go and talk about builds and shockwave hammers and everything's gonna be okay. And then you know, she was in hospital, well, she was in two different hospitals for two consecutive months, and then a month each, and then she went to rehab for a month to learn to walk again.
Okay.
But yeah, and then I was like, I was hosting the BAFTA awards while she was still in hospital. So yeah, I laugh now, obviously, but it was just like going, and 2 days before the BAFTA awards, I was still in Berlin doing another show, doing a League of Legends show called LEC. So it was like, you know, whenever I was here, it was like, right, bake and like spend time with the family and eat and, you know, do those quite restorative things together, you know, make the most of the time.
So that interests me quite a lot, because I know from, you know, a personal standpoint how difficult that can be in terms of like I've had things in the past, like very thankfully very occasionally, right, but where I've done something where I've got to be talky and I got to be positive and I've got to be bring that energy, right? And there was one particular situation, just being slightly unspecific, but I'd been triggered by something, like I would say like 5 minutes before I was meant to do the thing. And I was just all over the place. Like, initially I was okay. I just went, okay, just forget about that minute. Just, we're going to do the thing now. Just go, go, go. And you start, you just get into it. But then after about, I'd say like an hour or so, or just under an hour, I just suddenly like, I couldn't think what to say. I thought, and then my head started turning over, like, this is going terribly, you know. And then, you know, and it just like folds out in a way. Yeah. You can't ignore it for long. And I was just like, oh shit, I'm in trouble here. I've lost the thread. And then it starts going, why do you even try and do this? What are you even doing? Are you playing that? Blah, blah, blah. Because of that trigger, right? Just because of something really bad happening just before you got to go on and do something, right?
Yeah.
So I just wonder how you sort of manage with something. Like, how do you have techniques, or did you launch into it?
I think it just show goes on. I remember last year, someone had released a video that was only 2 hours about me being the worst person in esports. I'm a terrible person, blah, blah, blah. And it was the day before doing a show.
Right, sorry.
The evening before. And I was having a lovely time in this office, and someone had brought a load of clothes along for us to try on. And I was with two other women, because it was a women's Counter-Strike event I was doing the next day called ESL Impact. And working for ESL again had been something I'd been thinking about for the best part of the year, because them being taken over by Saudi. It's something I've spoken about, I guess, quite a lot now. But couldn't work in Counter-Strike, really, unless I worked for them. So I wanted to do something that I really loved. I mean, there was a few reasons why, and I really loved the team on that show. And the people who produce it, it's produced by DreamHack in Stockholm, basically.
Okay, right, yeah.
Yeah, trans women, still in the rule book. That was one thing I made very clear on before I worked on it. You know, what are the adverts, what are the sponsors going to be? But anyway, so this guy released this video at 10 p.m. the night before. And then you go into the show, and then the start of the show is an obituary. And that was like, so you're like basically already in this quite emotional state because you can't say anything, do anything publicly, but you're being sent screen grabs by people on the internet who don't know you but still hate you. Mm. And you're thinking, okay, I need to do this person justice, and I need to like get on with the show. And I'm quite like, and I've got one of her friends stood next to me on the desk talking about her, and another one dialing in, and you want to be respectful to the person you're remembering, the people who really knew her, and like and do the show, right?
Yeah.
So I remember that was like, that was really hard for a multitude of reasons, but like, you know, I had my selfish reasons, but then I also like, you can kind of almost put those aside. But I do remember in the makeup chair before being like, right, okay, you can do it. I had to do an obituary, like, gosh, it's probably like a month later, I think it was, for a young Valorant player.
Oh my gosh.
It was horrific, man. Horrific.
Yeah.
A player called Twiston who, you know, my friend who I worked in esports for many years manages that team.
Yeah.
So it's almost like situations like that have actually helped in a way, like when things are feel bad or out of control or something like that. Sometimes this sounds ridiculous, but like when like a game needs to be remade or something that causes people in esports to be quite, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening, competitive integrity, blah 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 blah, and I'm like, you know what, we can just remake the game.
Yeah.
Like I honestly think I think you know what, the worst thing that can happen on air is saying that someone died, and I've had to do that now.
Yeah.
So I think to myself, yeah, like I can't control what that person thinks of me. I can't control that person doing this. I can't control a company being taken over, even though, like, you know, I was on beta blockers last year, and a lot in part because of it. But like, I can always remember like that the things I've done, the things I've said were always with the best of intentions. Mm. So I think that's one of the things. That's one of my mottos is, what were your intentions? Well, they were always good. And I know that. And the people who know me know that.
Yeah.
But also, like, we haven't lost anyone. We might have.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, those are the two things I'm always like, I've now try and like bear in mind. You can tell I did talk therapy at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Where someone was just like, the guy was like, the amazing therapist was just like, so why do people want to like watch your Twitch stream? And I was like, oh, because they kind of want to like hang out with me. And he was like, well, yeah. And I went, okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
It's free. It's like my council sponsored talk therapy, but it's amazing. You know, and you're just like, oh, okay. So that was very helpful. But
they're good at that, aren't they? The good ones.
Yeah, really good at that.
Ask you one question and you'll go, Oh yeah.
And also the point where I explained something that had happened to me in within esports, and he looked at me and he said, Frankie, what you're describing is discrimination. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'm allowed to actually say that, because you feel like you can't sometimes.
Yes.
Because then people are like, well, who's discriminating you? Are you saying that we're also discriminating you? Blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, what do you mean there are no women on this lineup? Well, who would you suggest replacing on the lineup? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's, you know, it's not like that so much anymore, because like, there's a lot of women on lineups, but that's just a kind of example of
yeah, things. Interesting. How do you find that actually? Because like, so in terms of my interests, I am on the FGC side of things, right? Mm. My opinion is that it is largely decent in terms of diversity and inclusion, right? Mm. Certainly not perfect. In terms of women and attitudes to women, okay, but again, there's always room for improvement. So I'm just wondering in general, on your side of things, on the esports world, like, how do you feel diversity inclusion is in general in different areas?
I think there's still a vocal group of people who, you know, it's this whole Gamergate 2 thing that's happening, you know, around the ruining of games by putting women into them. But on the whole, in terms of like talent lineups and stuff, when it started, I was often the only woman. And of course, you get the token woman kind of tag, even though there were obviously lots of brilliant women before I started, like people like Smix and Salsa, and obviously Shox, Law, who's interviewer and desk host for LEC, like really brilliant women were existing. And actually LEC was probably one of the only shows that had two women regularly on the lineup in Law and Shocks. So, and Froskurian, actually, who was a brilliant analyst who sadly is retired from the industry now. But yeah, it was incredibly rare. And like to see an all-female desk, for example, that didn't happen. And then cut to like a few weeks ago, really, I was doing E-Premier League and I had Casey and Leah Ravel on the desk with me, and they're both FC24 FIFA experts.
Yeah.
And you know, the desk just happened, and then afterwards I was like, this probably hasn't happened in this game before.
Right.
But it's just, we don't even give it a second thought really until maybe after it's happened, because it's just a thing. Like League of Legends at the World Championships this year, I think they had a 5-woman desk at one point. So
okay,
it's becoming a lot more common. It's still something that gets pointed out, but in a celebratory way, in a way that it's just like, this is so cool that this happens.
Cool.
You know, and at some point that will stop, because it's just going to be like normal, you know? Yeah.
That's the ideal, isn't it? Where there's just...
Yeah, it's really cool. And I do Valorant Game Changers. I've done ESL Impact, and before that DreamHack Showdown, which was the precursor to ESL Impact before COVID. And those events are always great. Like just getting to do shows with more women, but also those LANs are so few and far between. Those events are so few and far between. But they just always have a really like good vibe to them, right? And it's just really nice. You know, there are lots of different barriers, and oh, hang on, I'm so sorry, the door.
Oh, the door.
The door. I think this is. Dina, you are.
Dina.
She's so delayed. Hello.
Dina sprung into life.
After I opened the door. The door. She's getting old, isn't she? Dina.
Never seen the side of Dina before. Dina.
You've given up your size now, Dina. You're not scary anymore. Thank you ever so much. Thank you. Bye.
There you go, Dina. You showed. Look at her. She sat down satisfied, like I showed her off.
Yeah, I knew I had a parcel coming today. Right.
So. Dina. Never so seen that side of you before. Oh, goodness, yeah. Me.
She only started barking when the baby was born. She didn't bark before then.
Oh, yeah. So it's like a sense of like home protection, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love
she
it.
Became very protective of everyone.
Squeeze, yeah. She's like, she looks tired out
good
now.
Good girl, Dina.
She looks drained.
Good girl, yeah. She's not shaking. She's perfectly happy. She's got it out of the system. So it's not unusual anymore. Which means I'm not special.
No.
I'm joking. I've always been like probably more vocal than most about these kinds of things, but like it's almost like you almost don't need to now. I think more of a thing that is not necessarily getting better is voice comms.
Okay.
Just in like ranked play of games. Like Valorant,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I need to get back into playing CS2 again, because I actually really enjoy it and I miss playing it, but like, I've had lots of incidences of people being pretty horrendous, and you know, it's always when you see people online kind of brush it off and go, well, everyone gets harassed in games, it's like, well, you should actually then be annoyed about this. Like, but people are just like, oh, the problem, the thing is you're making it a woman thing, but actually it's always about the nature of the harassment, right? So if it's like sexualized, and that's normally what it is, you know.
Yeah, of course.
How much, etc.
And
the griefing. So when someone like knifes you, kills you, team kills you in a game, they can only do that, I think, twice in CS before they get kicked. So the team kill you twice, and then after that they'll start tagging you, so they'll get your damage down without killing you, so you can't take fights, duels with, you know, with the enemy, they will like physically block your path. So like that kind of thing can happen in these games. And I know it's happening in Valorant. But with Valorant, what's happening is because it's quite a new game and it's got a very diverse roster of characters. They've just introduced their first non-binary character, a Scottish character called Clove.
Okay.
Because I think that lineup is a lot more diverse, a bit like with Overwatch, you have a much wider group of people playing the game.
Yeah,
which is great, but it also means that people are a lot more vocal about what they've experienced as well.
Yeah.
So you, and we're in this age of streaming and social media, so it's quite common to see clips from games like Valorant where people are being like griefed or harassed. So you can't really ignore that it's a problem. It's just whether you care that it's a problem or not. So yeah.
Do you think, I've got two questions now, hold the other one in my brain. Do you think when games introduce a lot of diverse characters, like when Overwatch has done obviously over the years, do you think that has a positive effect on, or a reduction on, like the amount of abuse you get from those sorts of players?
I think because it widens the player base, it means that I think it makes it better for sure. I've only actually had one incident in Overwatch where it was a bit iffy, and that was apart from actually playing like healer, especially if you're playing Mercy, people be like, heal me, and they'd be annoying, but it wasn't like awful. Yeah. I mean, they'd probably blame you, but it wasn't like targeted because of being a woman.
Right.
But like, I remember there was one where just, and actually it was a girl. So again, it wasn't targeted. It was just someone, you know, shit talking the rest of the team and things. I'm always like, especially actually in a round based shooter like CS rather than Overwatch, when someone is really talking down their teammates, that's not going to help you win. That's going to make things worse. So it's always like one of the most counterintuitive, like negative things you can do. You know, if you're streaming, just turn your microphone off to your team and then just moan to your stream if you need to, but never take it out directly on your teammates.
Mm.
That's a rule I try to have, but there's been once or twice where like I've definitely like got angry, like raised my voice a bit in voice comms, like not proud of it, but only a handful of times, like yeah, probably twice.
Yeah, ever. Yeah. It's the thing I was saying about the fighting game side of things is strange. So we've got definitely got the sort of racial diversity, ethnic diversity. There's quite a strong trans scene as well, which is interesting, which is cool, especially around like anime fighters and that kind of thing, right? But if I ever go to a social or a casual, like an open casual, you know, that they have once a month usually, that sort of thing, not been for a while, but they're very welcoming, everyone's fine, but I don't think I've ever seen a woman there ever. And it's not that they wouldn't be welcome, but they think, well, there's a space there where if women felt like they could turn up, they would, but they don't.
Yeah, it's interesting. So do you know Cuddlecore, Janelle?
No.
She is a Red Bull athlete. She was with Cloud9. I can't remember. She was with, I think she was with CLG Red before, maybe. CLG then got disbanded. They got bought by Madison Square Gardens and like the company got gutted, which was devastating because CLG were known for pioneering like women's esports. And luckily, right. The Valorant and the Counter-Strike teams got picked up by FlyQuest, so created FlyQuest Red. But yeah, so she's been with a couple of orgs, and I virtually met her because we did this podcast for Red Bull called Save Your Game a few years ago. And she's awesome. She's amazing. She's Tekken, be Tekken 8 Pro now.
Okay.
But yeah, she's definitely one of the, if not the most significant woman on that scene. And she's up there and she's taking part in, you know, as many tournaments as possible. And she's got medals, she's got trophies, you know. Mm. She's amazing. I think when it comes to competition, I think maybe sometimes women start later because we're always told to have a backup plan, to have a plan B. And like, you know, I think that can impact things. Like I didn't start full-time hosting until I was 29.
Yeah.
Because I had to make sure that like, you know, I had a safety net and all these different things, or I just didn't think that I could do it, or I wasn't ambitious enough, or this, that, and the other. Yeah. And then I got made redundant at Twitch, and I'd already started doing a couple of things on the side. I didn't put myself forward for things because I worried about what other people would think of me. And I think there's probably an element of that with competing as well. It's like,
yes,
what happens if you lose? Because if you lose, you haven't just lost as an individual, you've lost as a woman.
Right.
Like, yeah. And I actually do think that could be a thing as well.
I think also thinking about, as I asked that question, it occurred to me that you're the best of the best, whatever that current crop is, right? They tend to hang out together a lot and train against each other a lot. As I was saying, like similar to like that Pakistani scene that I told you about, you know, that's replicated in one way or another over here, where those people will all meet a lot in the week, go for a
KFC or whatever, just hang out, go for a Subway or whatever, and then like sit in hotel rooms and play together if they're on the road, or just sit in someone's house and play. And obviously if that's just a group of lads, if you're trying to get into a scene of that as a woman, that's going to be harder to, like, because that's where the most intense training comes in. Like, so they'll do that like 7-8 hours and really learn all the ins and outs and these bits. Oh, how do I beat that? How do I, why you get, why is that always beating this? And they'll say, oh, you got to do that. And then they sharpen each other up, right? And that's where the really fine tuning comes in, that you, if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to get into those top eights and that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Scrim partners, like in CS, a lot of the women's teams say that there are some male teams that won't scrim against them, so they're not getting practice against the top flight teams. So
I don't understand why.
Well, people just think they're not good enough, so they're not worth practicing against. But then, you know, you've got this never-ending cycle, perpetuating cycle of things not improving and getting better. And unless you've got women's leagues and prominent women players, then you're not going to widen the player base of women players who want to get better and want to take it seriously. So the thing is, with when it comes to women playing at a high level, it's very hard to quantify the skill ceiling and things like that, because people like to do like, oh, reaction tests, quote scientific studies that are actually not based on anything that's happened in a video game, right? The data is not designed to tell you about specifically video games. But we do know that the player base, the talent pool of women to pick from is, or to develop from, is smaller than the men's. Yeah. So how do you know? Because you don't have an accurate sample size.
Right.
It's very difficult to kind of know those things. And also, games are not always just built around reaction times and things like that.
Yeah.
They're about so much more than that. The best Valorant coach of last year was Potter, and she took her team to win the championship at the end of the year.
Right.
Or Valorant champions, VCT champions. And she was, I would say she was the defining pro of the kind of women's golden age of CSGO, which was kind of from the start of CSGO for like probably until like 2015, when you had WESG, so like the World Championship, so you'd have national teams competing, but you also had more women's tournaments. And she was an AWPer, so sniper. And she's just brilliant.
Right.
Absolutely brilliant. She won 7 world titles, in fact, with her team. So some of them were from CS 1.6, so precursor to Counter-Strike Global Offensive. She could have joined a otherwise male team, but decided not to.
Yeah.
There's no guarantees when you go to that team that it's going to work, but there was always guarantees that she'd raise another trophy. So I can understand why she didn't make that move, and I think she's spoken about it herself, so I don't want to just kind of speculate actually to the entire reasons to that, but I'm pretty sure she said that she had some fears about what would happen if she did make that move. So
okay, yeah,
yeah, she's on the record somewhere, so I don't want to paraphrase, yeah, not course, remembering exactly what she said, but she's also just, she's one of the most enthusiastic, nicest people I've ever worked with, because she was doing analyst desks in 2019. So again, that was a significant year, because myself, Shox and Potter were working on some of the Blast events together. So, and also Smix got to do an event when Shox wasn't there, so I had to desk host instead of doing interviews, and Smix did interviews. Potter was on the as an analyst. And so we had like 3 of us at multiple events, 3 women, and it was great. It was so nice. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah. I just will never forget Potter's enthusiasm, because that's actually quite rare in those spaces. It's very rare, and she was fab.
There's a difference between like how FGC stuff is presented a lot of the time and how esports is, right? Do you think that because of the way esports is packaged and presented being similar to sports, right? So, and there's been like a big movement in women's football and the Lionesses and what have you and that kind of thing, and seeing female presenters in football and being down at the touchline and that kind of thing, and on the panel, is it called a panel?
Yeah, analyst desk.
Analyst desk, thank you. Do you think that has helped in esports, like push that across? Do you think they sort of feed each other?
I actually don't. I think that would be really cool. I'd love to actually move to women's football because I just think it's amazing. But I need to know more. So I think when I'm having my sort of maternity leave, I think I'm going to be watching a lot of Women's Super League and watching the documentary that they have on Sky as well. Like, that's, for me, is something I've been thinking about more and more. I just love the atmosphere and I love the potential and I love the stories and just like, yeah. I don't think England even won the Euros and I was already crying my way through that match. It was just like, oh my God, I wasn't able to do this when I was a kid. Like, it was never even a thing that would be possible, right?
Yeah.
Which is why I think in esports, while people go like, oh, it's video games, it's an even playing field, I'm like, it's still important to have women's events because they're not being represented at the big events. So we need to represent women wherever we can, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it has. I honestly do think it's more player base and games like Apex and Overwatch and Valorant and games coming out where if the developer and the publisher has made a concerted effort to include and represent people who haven't always been represented in those competitive games in their games, then people who haven't traditionally played them will start to take an interest in them. I used to be very like, oh, I'm not really sure this is a thing. Like, I would have thought women would play the games anyway. And some of them do, but I just think that it gives much more visibility and accessibility. You know, when I play fighting games, I do actually gravitate towards the female characters. You know, Tekken 2, when I was 9 years old, I would play Nina religiously and Jun Kazama and Michelle. I loved Michelle and Tekken 2. Oh, brilliant character design. Just so fun to play. I had a Tekken 3 demo disc where you could play Xiaoyu and Eddie Gordo.
Yes,
you know, like, I hated Eddie Gordo. But Xiaoyu is a brilliant character, you know. And Tekken 3 was her first appearance, I'm pretty sure, but Eddie's as well. I've always loved those things. I remember with Street Fighter 5 seeing the trailer and seeing Chun-Li was kind of like applying lipstick in the mirror. And I was like, that's not Chun-Li. Chun-Li ain't got no time to like check her tights for snags and apply lipstick in the mirror.
Yeah.
Nina would, because it's like a poison lipstick that's going to like kill her enemies. But like Chun-Li wouldn't. Chun-Li's a police officer. Like,
yes, mate.
Yeah. She's got, you know, that's not a uniform.
That's true.
Yeah.
I found that all disappointing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love those characters, and always not drawn to Cammy so much because that's a lot, that's a very high maintenance bikini line, but always those really strong characters like Chun-Li were really made me interested in playing them and mastering a game, and I do think that is probably one of the reasons why more, you know, non cis white men are competing and taking an interest in these games, for sure.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because you think about, like, as we were saying, Overwatch, each character is distinct, there's lots of detail about their country of origin and loads of things, right? Whereas Counter-Strike obviously has its roots in like really old PC gaming, but it's basically bloke in balaclava or bloke not in balaclava.
Yeah, you do have female agents now on both sides.
Oh, do you? Cool.
Terrorist, counter-terrorist, but they are not they're not the default model. So there's been a discussion about this recently. There are no default models, i.e. models that you do not pay for in CS. Okay. You can only earn them like through the mission, like the operation, sorry, you know, when they do like a season of an operation and you buy a battle pass and, you know, collect stars and then spend them on the agents and things like that. They are very much commodities or playable commodities. So there was a discussion about recently because a women's Counter-Strike team put out a letter about it. And I think they had a point, you know, it'd be great to have, to be able to like set your default models being female if you want to. It doesn't really impact how you play the game, how you see the game, but it's kind of cool, right? People are very religious about like the skins they like to play with, the knife they like to have. People get hysterical about knives in CS. I find that really funny, that the people who get like up in arms about like that knife isn't good enough, blah blah blah, you know, we need to have this butterfly knife, we need to have this the fade knife, blah blah blah, And then when someone says, oh, we'd really like to be able to play as a woman agent in CS, they're like, how dare you? Let me go back to counting my skin collection.
What does it matter? What it's like,
but it's just like you are very into that skin you have, so why can't someone be very into the idea of having this skin, you know? Like, I'm not really that into Counter-Strike skins, although I would really love an M4 Empress skin. So if someone would like to give me that, I would gladly accept it. I have an AK-47 with an Empress on it, which is my pride and joy. I don't care that it's not super rare. I just like how it looks.
Oh, mate. It's the thing with the Street Fighter thing now. Is the Costume 3 came out, but they did that pricing thing where you have to buy enough fight money or whatever, I can't remember what it's called now in this one, to buy two costumes. So even if it's either...
So you have to buy two to get to three.
Well, it's either you've got not quite enough for one costume, or the next level of coin, you know, fighter coins, whatever it is, to buy two. So like if you want to buy one, you only want to buy one costume, you're dropping 16 quid.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of money. I'd rather go into Steam and buy an indie game.
Literally anything.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
It's a 60 quid base level game, isn't it?
Yes.
And yeah. I know they would need to afford to keep the server running, so I actually am not fully anti microtransactions.
However, there are nicer ways.
But 16 quid is too much.
There are nicer ways to do it that I wouldn't mind dropping, because I'm like, yes, I appreciate the amount of play time I get from this. Cool. Just do it in a nice, do it in a way that's not like that. Oh
yeah.
Thankfully, the Costume 3 isn't out for my character yet because she's DLC.
Oh, who's your character?
Aki.
Okay.
But I'm sure it'll come out and I'll be like, I like that. And I now need to buy, and you've got me. And this is why you're still doing it, because I've just dropped 16 quid on a single costume.
Yeah. I don't mind spending money on things if I really like the game and I want to support the game and stuff like that. Like, I don't actually mind it, and I think I'm an adult woman, so if I want to spend my money on it, then like I should be allowed to make that decision. I do think it's nice to not have so many, you know, unpredictable things, like, you know, loot crates. I'm very much jury is out on them for me.
Yeah,
like I used to, but you in someone like Overwatch, you used to get rewarded with them as well as buying them, so for me that was kind of almost like a happy medium, because I get them for free for playing quite regularly.
Yeah.
So if I did buy them on occasion, it didn't feel too bad, because I was also getting them quite regularly for free too. So it never felt bad to me. But then I don't obsessively open crates.
Right, okay.
I'm not that obsessed with the cosmetic extras in video games.
No, I tend to not be, but also there was a good feeling when you'd say you do an Overwatch session with mates for like a whole night, right? And because you're going straight into another game, we'd wait until the end to open all the
crates. So satisfying. Yeah, one of the things I find hardest about playing Ultimate Team for EAFC is if you get a duplicate, you have to do something straight away before you can open another pack. So you go into your SBCs and you go, right, how do I use this item in an SBC before I can then open another pack,
right?
And for me, I like some of the SBCs, and I should do them more. But like, I find them quite tedious if I'm streaming the game. I people want to watch you open things, but people don't necessarily want to watch you over SBCs. At least not me, anyway.
Yeah.
It's not that I think they want to see me screaming my head off in anger rather than pondering, you know, whether I give up my Lewandowski or something. So it's for me, that slows my momentum in terms of, you know, getting further with the game and with my team's progress and lineup and things like that. So I need to do SBCs more in that game, because I really enjoy playing the game, and I love talking about like items, aka the cards. Basically, their official name is items, so I never call them cards, but I mean the cards. I love talking about them and like what they bring out, and looking at the individual like nitty-gritty stats and play styles and all those kinds of things. But I'm also an inherently lazy person. Clearly, well, I'm not. I actually used to be a very productive person, But yeah, I think it takes up too much of my time and I just don't have enough time.
Yes, yeah, tell me about it.
Someone can come and do my SBCs for me, please. I should also clarify, I was talking about SBCs. That's a squad building challenge where you are building, sometimes it's starting 11, sometimes literally just one, putting one item into the mix according to some parameters they've set for you. That's an SBC.
Right.
And then you get rewarded at the end of doing a bunch of these challenges. You get rewarded with either a pack or you get rewarded with a specific player item. So you could earn like, I don't know, like ultimate birthday icon Beckham for
Yeah. Ultimate birthday icon Beckham.
Yeah. So I think Beckham was part of their ultimate birthday recently. Yeah, no, he definitely was. I'm really sure he was. So right,
okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I thought it was a special Beckham's birthday one where he's got, in my head, it's like he's got a little cake in front of him.
It was 15 years of Ultimate Team. And right, basically all of the items within this release had either a 5-star weak foot or 5-star skill move. So some of the cards were like, some of the items were 5-5, I think, but a lot of them were like 4-5 or 5-4, which is very confusing because you had two Henri cards and one was 5-4 and one was 4-5.
Okay.
This is mad because I've only been doing FC for like 6 months, maybe less. And, you know, when I started, it was so much to learn. And sometimes I underestimate how much I've learned and how far I've come because I'm just like, I still don't know enough. But actually, like, I know a lot, it turns out.
Do you find that easy to retain? Because I know you're across a lot of different games these days, right?
I'm doing 3 this month.
Right, what are you doing this month?
This month I'm doing, so this weekend we start FNCS, so that's Fortnite Major 2. Then Valorant, so they've just released a new agent who is, so Clove, who is available from professional play this week actually that we're currently in. So I'm going out to Berlin next week to do 3 days of desk coasting. I've got to do a lot of research. I need to watch VODs, make notes on the matches that have happened and things. To go out there and do 3 days of week 3. So it's a lot of work for 3 days. And then after that, come back, do some more Fortnite. Luckily, that's a home broadcast. And then I go out to Spain to do the La Liga FC Pro finals, which is just one day. But I've just come back from Spain doing the sort of preliminary event, the La Liga FC Pro Cup. So a lot of players I was not familiar with, hadn't covered before, but it was won by a player that I had, which was useful and a nice storyline because he had a terrible start to the season and now he's on the up again. Argentinian called Nicholas FC, who is a fascinating character known as the Iceman. It's just like, I just want to destroy everyone. I was like, I bet you do, Nicholas. I have no doubt.
Yes.
So that's really fun to do. And a lot of the FC I've done is actually been in London, and I do a podcast for EA called like EA FC Pro 4 Chemistry with FG, who works for Man City and does this thing like a football show for JD Sports, and does the show with me, and he knows everything about like SBCs and Ultimate Team and things like that.
Right.
Like, he's brilliant. He knows everyone. He's always talking about working with the Man City players. he's just brilliant. And puts my lack of knowledge to shame, but also it's really useful having him on the show. I don't know if it's so useful having me, but he's brilliant. Those are the kind of things I'm doing. But I also noticed that next year there's going to be more tournament organizers in Counter-Strike, so maybe I could potentially do CS again, which I sort of decided to not pursue anymore. But I then started watching the most recent Counter-Strike 2 major final. So if you're not familiar with Counter-Strike majors, there's 2 a year. They're the prestigious like events in the calendar.
Are they like Evo and Capcom
Exactly. Except it's just one game, and you know, everyone dreams, that's the ultimate goal, is to win a major. So at the end of the most recent major, PGL announced that they're going to be doing a full tournament circuit as opposed to one-off Counter-Strike majors.
Okay.
And I really like working with them in Antwerp, so I'm really, I don't know if they'll ask me to work for them. But it's a really weird thing because of being away for a while. I still get, every time I stream, I get asked when I'm doing Counter-Strike again.
Right.
Or on social media posts and things like all the time. Where did you go? When are you doing CS again? And I just been like, I'm not doing it anymore. And then I see sort of, I just, if I start watching it and I see these players I used to like, you know, work with all around the world, like I traveled the world with these people, like talking about a video game that I just became obsessed with. And literally you are just kind of, you are like a fly on the wall watching these players like achieve the ultimate, you know, they are literally achieving their dreams. Yeah. And it is amazing how like you sometimes work with these players the first time they've done an interview or when they're really young. And then, you know, you're always at a distance, right? It's a very, like, I always try and maintain a professional relationship. I might message them if I want to find out something about a team or a change or something like that before an event. And I might occasionally see them in the bar, but I'm not like,
yeah,
I'm not making friends with them. Yes. You know, I'm always very like, this is a working relationship. If you do want to be like, more like hang out more, that's cool with me, like I'll be in the bar. But yeah, there's this, I just have a very like, I just have respect for these players and what they go through, and like I witness it online how tough it is sometimes for them, you know, like teenagers essentially getting death threats in their DMs because someone placed a bet on a game that they didn't win. Like, it's crazy the amount that these players go through at such a young age. You know, the mental resilience that is required is just insane.
Going forward, what would you want to focus on the most? Like, what's the most important to you, do you think? Work-wise.
I would like to host outside of gaming and esports.
Okay.
Maybe that's sacrilegious to say, but
this is a gaming podcast, please.
No, I want, because
other interests.
Yeah, I'd love to do entertainment or sports, basically, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do esports for, with the amount of traveling that's involved, and also, you know, things changing in the industry, and we're talking about esports winter at the moment within the industry and stuff like that, and it is knackering trying to keep across multiple games. Mm. And like, I call myself the substitute teacher in certain games like Valorant. But to be a substitute teacher, you still need to go to all the lessons, you know. Mm. You still have to watch the broadcast that you're not part of, and it's a really big amount of work. Like, when Aoife was born and I knew I was going to do some LEC, at least I had 6 weeks notice at the time, which is rare having that much notice.
Mm.
So I was watching the weekend, you know, the weekends in the run-up, so they call it a split, right? I was watching an entire split before I then did the show, so I think that was like 9 weeks, and I made over 100 pages of notes just trying to get ready and prepare to be on the show. Now, that's actually counterproductive, because who's going to read 100 pages of notes? But at least it got stuff into my head and got me comfortable, so by the time I was there, I was like that was one of the weekends of work I'm actually proudest of. Like, I rarely say come away from something being like, I did a really good job, but like that weekend I first did the show after not doing it for a few years, like that was a good weekend for me. So, but it's a lot, so I really wanted to make EAFC a bit of a home for myself. But you know, I still don't know if I'm going to do world championships. Like, I don't even know if I'm doing anything with eChampions League in a few weeks, because the partner leagues like UEFA, they are behind that. Mm. And I'm pretty sure I'm not, so you know, nothing, I'm in that kind of limbo where like nothing is certain. Even if I do a good job, like, again, Premier League was on Sky Sports Premier League, and it was on TNT, and it was on TV as well as on Twitch and YouTube. And I came away from the final day of the Sunday, and I was just like, that is the best I've been on a broadcast in a really long time, or the best I felt about it. So I think what I need to do is start to try and think about whether I can transition. I still want to be doing gaming. I still love esports, but it's just going, right, how can I basically do what I really enjoy doing, which is I like telling stories, and I love meeting people and finding out what they're achieving and you know, what they've overcome to do it. Like, everything I do like involves a tremendous amount of sacrifice on the part of the people I'm interviewing or covering, you know, not on my part necessarily. You know, just miss some weddings. yeah, I think that for me, I'm also trying to get better at doing social media content again, but just this pregnancy has knackered me. So
yes, it will do that.
Yeah. So I need to be better at doing that. And I'm not, if I didn't have to be on Twitter anymore, I wouldn't be, you know, but I have to be, and it makes me so unproductive. I'm on Twitter way too much at the moment, so I need to stop. Yep. I need to be on Instagram more, doing posts there, and Twitter less. But I don't think that I'm very interesting, really. Like, my life is, my work is very much about other people. You know, if I'm hosting an analyst desk, I'm not hosting a show about myself. I'm hosting a show about the players. Or if I'm doing interviews, I'm asking questions about other people. You know, it's not about me. Mm. And I might give a lot of energy to try and get someone to open up, or, you know, so I have a personality that's probably distinctly on display, but it still doesn't mean it's about me.
Mm.
It's about eliciting a response from someone. So yeah, I would love to do, would love to just see if I could do other opportunities as well. But I'm not famous. I'm not related to someone famous. I'm not a former model. I don't have, and I'm not a stand-up comedian, even though occasionally I'm funny. but you know, so I'm not in the world where a commissioner is going to be like, you know what, we'll give her a show.
Right. Yeah.
So I at the moment I can't actually see how I transition, but yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Whereas, you know what, that's a brilliant thing about gaming and esports and things, is because it's made and loved and run by enthusiasts, very professional enthusiasts, you who know an insane amount, it means that you can be part of it simply by identifying yourself as being part of it. You just have to say, I'm a gamer.
Yeah.
Even though I have presented TV, like, I can't just rock up to the BBC and be like, I used to work for you, but I'm a TV presenter now. And they were like, oh, come be on the One Show. That's not going to happen. Whereas it kind of did with gaming.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild.
I watch TV, yeah.
Yeah. So, so yeah, that's what I'd like to do. But I think also just give birth to this child in a productive, healthy, non-traumatic way.
Yay.
So working with my midwives and the hospital I'm with, which is a different hospital to last time on that, because last time around, I've written a blog about this as well, like the labour that I went through with Eve the baby. And yeah, but I already know it's going to be better. Like, it's mad, but like, I just already know. Like, it's one of the things I'm most confident in this world, is that I'm going to have a good labour. That's like it, really.
Excellent. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yes, please keep that energy. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.